Welcome to this month's episode of Real Geeks. I am, of course, Mike Montgomery, joined down on the bottom by my co-host, Vita. And over to the side is our guest, Natasha, who's back for some reason.
Your idea. I was just like, okay, sign me up.
And we are here to do what is actually really our first follow-up review with 2018's Upgrade. Now, for the probably four of you who have watched this show on a regular basis, first of all, thank you. Second, you may remember us mentioning this movie when we discussed Venom, because quite simply, everything Venom does wrong, and I mean every single thing, this movie does right. This, honestly, I think, as far as non-MCU comic book films go, at least, it's my Thor 2.
As a quadriplegic, must be frustrating for you, someone who likes to get things done with their hands.
Here's the thing. Four guys murdered my wife. If I could find these men, I'd do it.
What if I told you I could offer you something that would enable you to walk again? I call it STEM, a computer chip that has the potential to change everything. It's a new, better brain.
I am STEM, the system operating your body for you.
Can anybody else hear you?
No, only you. May I point something out? In the drone surveillance footage, Sir Brantner, Marine Corps, address 414 Citrus, Newground. We'll need a plan.
I got this.
This doesn't seem like a well thought out plan.
I need your permission to operate independently.
Permission granted!
Thank you.
Stay down, man.
Stay down, he's got a knife!
I see that. We have a knife, too. You now have full control again, Gray.
If you are involved in this somehow, then you need to let me know.
Well, I was in the area, Detective.
There was a gun implanted inside his hand.
Then what do you think I should do?
Move, Gray.
Whoa, 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 whoa!
Man, you are persistent.
I cannot allow us to be killed. We are going to finish the job we started.
You didn't know that I'm a ninja.
While I am state-of-the-art, I am not a ninja.
Now, the movie stars Logan Marshall Green, or let's be honest, low-budget Tom Hardy. Because, I'm sorry, the resemblance is disturbing. As Gray Trace, a mildly technophobic car mechanic in what I'm going to call Detroit of the near future, because I don't think they established what the city actually was.
Yeah, it's kind of dark and gritty. Yeah.
So, yeah, when in doubt, it's Detroit. And as the movie starts, he is delivering the Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit. Again, let's not kid ourselves. To a client who is, frankly, this movie's Elon Musk. His name actually being Aaron Keene. And his wife decides to join him for the trip, predominantly...
He insists that his wife comes. Yeah.
Predominantly because if she doesn't, he doesn't have a way home.
Because he is a technophobe and he doesn't have a computer chip, so he can't drive a driverless car. Which is what she had.
Yeah.
I didn't catch that. I thought it was just like, oh, well, I don't know how to drive it, so you should come with me. Oh, you like his house.
That's also plausible. But on the way back, as our newlyweds become all newlywedy, the car malfunctions and magically decides to drive them to Gray's old neighborhood, flying full speed into a loading docks area, crashing just in time and just perfectly where a group of mercenaries are already waiting for them.
Just happened to be waiting for them. Yeah, just, you know, they were just chilling. Yeah.
And the nice thing is this will come up later. So they pull Gray and his wife, Asha, out of the car, immediately paralyze Gray with a medical instrument that is normally used for killing cows. Which, when you watch this thing on the second viewing, should be a warning sign of what's to come. Because, like this does stick out. And it looks like a standard robbery. But once all is said and done, Gray is a quadriplegic, and his wife is dead. Because, again... It works, but you're also going, yeah, the movie plot kind of requires this.
I think they could have added a couple more reasons to make it a little more legitimate, but...
Yeah.
Vita, you don't look like you're...
They could have done a couple of things that, you know, would have brought out the I must have revenge storyline, but they didn't. And for that, I'm kind of thankful. Because that would have been typical and that would have been expected. And in this day and age, it's a little much overkill. So
I'm just kind of thinking, like, you know, other than just sort of the dead wife or partner trope, whatever you want to call it, they mentioned that she worked for a company that provided stuff for, wounded soldiers. And I mean, other than, oh, hey, that was the company she worked for, nothing else is really made of it. So I feel like if it could have been made out like, oh, you know, yeah, it was actually serious competition, you know, we got rid of her, that could have worked in a sense.
Yeah.
But it was just kind of brought up, oh, yeah, it's competition, but you're nowhere near. And then suddenly she's dead.
Yeah, but that doesn't come up until later on in the movie, and they do hint that that may have been the reason for her being killed, but then, surprise, it's not why she was killed, so yeah.
Yeah, no, on the one hand, there's more that could have been done there, but at the same time, it's kind of the simplicity of, say, the first John Wick, so it still works. And... So, like I said, Gray's now a quadriplegic, and he's pretty much hit rock bottom because now we have a technophobe who basically can't live without technology and really doesn't want to.
Let me know if you need my help, Gray.
Stop! Help!
I need your permission to operate independently.
Permission granted!
Thank you.
Okay, it's done. What are we doing, man?
Just relax.
What the fuck? Oh, God, dear! Oh, look, man, stay down, please. Please, Please don't get up. Please don't get up. Please. Stay down, man. Just
Sam, he's got a knife! Sam!
I can see that. We have enough.
Ah! Just stab him!
So now
this is one quadriplegic, can't do anything for myself, and he is the kind of guy that would do all the work with his hands.
Yeah.
Like working on the cars and stuff. So to go from being able to do this for yourself, and not just being able to do it, being able to do it for yourself, and then suddenly have to rely on people, and you know, not being able to do anything, literally quadriplegic, neck down, that's quite the mindset change, and not a lot of people come out of it easily.
No.
You know, like, multiple sclerosis runs in my family, so that his struggle with that really kind of stuck out to me in the movie, because I've seen that with various family members and whatnot. So it definitely is a huge struggle, you know, going from not being able or being able to do so much to not being able to do anything at all. Sometimes it's gradual over a period of time, but like in this movie, sometimes it's, you know, feels like an instant, or it's very, you know, you go downhill very quick. So and yeah, going downhill very quick is really hard to deal with, to have other people do things for you, which I appreciated get some treatment.
Yeah.
In this film, having seen it with family members and people that they know as well. So, because it really is hard. And then his mom seeing that as well, you know, I could sympathize there, but yeah, I really thought that was kind of done somewhat of a tasteful way, yeah. You know. I'm sure there's others that could disagree, but yeah, no, it just, I can't really blame him for, you know, not only just losing his wife, but the fact that he can't, for someone who was so active before, he can't do anything anymore. What's the point of living then if you can't do anything? Exactly. And then with all the extra technology that he's clearly against, then yeah, I guess that would give him another edge as well. Sorry, I went off that. It was real seeing when that happened, because I mean, I went into the movie not knowing anything about it. It's just like, okay, we're going to watch this thing.
Yeah.
And then to see that, it was just, okay, so, okay, so suddenly this just hit close to home really hard. So, which helped draw me in, but yeah. So I've got a lot of feelings now.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, on the one hand, Logan Marshall Green's performance, like, he's selling this brilliantly.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, the scene where Gray tries to kill himself by overdosing on his meds, the fact that the computer basically lets him do it seemed a little odd. But again, his performance had me going, you know what? All right, I can forgive this. This is odd, but I'm going to let it go.
I'm sure they could have explained that away too. There was definitely ways in it, but I mean, it was such a small detail. Who really cares? Unless we're dissecting it like this.
During the writing process, I was consumed by the story. Like, that's always the hardest thing to get right with any film when you're writing it is the story. You know, because it's very hard to get a film made, and the only thing that's going to get it made most of the time is, you know, a solid script. But later, as I was starting to get into production, I did start to watch films like RoboCop, The Terminator, films that I grew up with from the 80s that really reflected the height of practical effects. And the reason I looked to them, despite them being great movies, I also loved the fact that they were achievable sci-fi films, meaning that the special effects within them were things that had been done in camera, with practical effects, you know. I felt like when I looked at a film like The Terminator or RoboCop, I felt like I could achieve a film on that scale.
But so after after Gray overdoses, his apartment's computer automatically calls him to the ambulance. He's back in the hospital, and in walks Aaron, who offers him a life-saving treatment through his pet project, the supercomputer chip STEM, that if everything works, would basically restore Gray's life completely back to normal. And Gray accepts the offer because...
Desperate.
For the sake of a random Doctor Who reference in the words of the 11th Doctor, if you dangle candy in front of a kid, of course they're going to take it.
I mean, I'd go for it. I'm almost 24.
Yeah. So they successfully implant the chip, and Gray literally has control of his limbs back in minutes.
It was like that, he lives! And the angle. It was definitely the shots, too, which was really neat. But it also felt sort of different in a way as well. I don't know. I think maybe just because they did go at it from a low angle, so it didn't exactly feel like, you know, every other he lives sort of thing. Something out of 50.
It was pretty much Uma Thurman's Move Your Big Toe from Kill Bill. Mm-hmm. Just in a way bigger scale.
Mm-hmm.
And once Gray gets back to his apartment, we have his introduction to STEM, because now this recently traumatized individual is hearing a voice in his head. And immediately questions his sanity because, I mean, again...
Who wouldn't?
Yeah.
I mean, I hear voices in my head all the time. I constantly question my sanity. You do.
Exactly.
It's always fun when you go see the psychiatrist, you know.
And as Gray is looking over everything related to Asha's murder, which was a little strange, because there's no way that a police department is going to send boxes and boxes of files and photos and evidence to the victim.
Like, what should be updated?
But again, for the sake of the movie, yeah, all right.
You never know. Things might be different in whatever year this was supposed to take place in.
I mean, on the one hand, potentially, but at the same time, I'm going, I think this is a violation of every police evidence regulation imaginable.
But how is it? It's like Officer Flores in the other room. I can go ask.
But, I mean, again, everything on screen here is good enough that I'm like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, okay, fuck it, whatever. Yeah, just, you know, let's get to some stabby.
So, Gray is watching the drone footage of the attack and his wife's murder, and Stem goes and introduces himself by going, can I just point out a little something there to you?
What the fuck? Who the fuck? He's like, yep, okay, I've officially lost it.
Oh, yeah. So, Gray eventually figures out that all of these mercenaries had cybernetic implants, and there's a conspiracy that seems to indicate that this whole thing was a setup to murder his wife.
That's the way it's presented, yeah. Yes, keyword presented.
And of course, needless to say, this is the part where I will throw in the spoiler warning.
Let's all go to the...
Because if you have not seen this movie yet, this is the point where you should stop and go watch it.
Oh, it's a really good movie.
Because
we watched it before Venom, and I loved it. It was engaging. And then watching it, I started watching it around 1:30 today, and I forgot how much I enjoyed the movie. It's really good.
Yeah, it didn't feel it. Because I have trouble just kind of sitting down and focusing on a movie, especially when I don't know anything about it. But yeah, no, like it, I got drawn in right away, and not just because of the sort of personal connections that I could make and whatnot. But yeah, it went by really fast. Because I mean, I finished it just before I logged on to here for the chat. So yeah, I was just, what do you mean it's over? Holy shit.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay. glad I'm reflecting after this.
Oh, yeah, and like I kind of mentioned a bit earlier, this is another one of those Deep Impact and Armageddon, The Raid and Dread scenarios where you have two movies released very close together that are basically the same thing. One of them is extremely successful, the other not as much. And I'd be the first to tell you that in this scenario, the wrong movie got all the press.
I still haven't seen Venom, so. I saw this one, I'm good.
Exactly. Again, Logan Marshall Green here is doing every single little thing that Tom Hardy should have been doing in Venom.
I love, like, when the first time that Stem is given permission to take over, and, like, he's beating the shit out of this guy, it's like, oh my god, what are you doing? You need to stop! And it's like, you can so tell when Stem is in control.
Yeah.
And when Gray is in control. I love how they do that. Right down to when it's Gray, the camera just, you know, it's on one of the wheels and it pans back. But when it's Stem, the camera is probably attached to his body and you can actually see, like, you know, the step, the camera goes up. And I love everything about this movie. I swear, I can't stop saying how much I like the movie.
You know, the cinematography and the camera work and whatnot are absolutely stunning.
Yeah, and also there are so many just little things. Mm-hmm. Like that first fight sequence you mentioned, Vita, there's at one point after Stem takes control. Now, Stem only has control from the neck down. So mm-hmm. At one point, there's this one small detail where you see Stem do this to Gray because he can't move Gray's head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, thank you!
Yeah, wait, you need to get out of the way because that's going to hit you. Yeah, that was really cool.
That's going to hurt.
Yeah.
Maybe dislodge Stem.
And another thing, what I noticed last night when I was watching the movie that I actually didn't catch this the first time around, but from the moment Stem takes control for the rest of the movie, Logan Marshall Green's movements are incredibly mm-hmm. stiff and robotic the entire time.
Yeah, I wanted to bring that up too, so I'm glad that you did bring it up, because, yeah, it's just as soon as he can finally start moving with the help of Stem, yeah, it's all very, like you said, sort of mechanic, robotic, and that alone makes it very unsettling. Because, I mean, you're already kind of feeling like, this seems a little too good to be true. Why would this guy, you know, want to help his mechanic? You know, highly doubt it's for the good of his whatnot. And then, yeah, once with the jerky movement and whatnot, it definitely helps sell, yeah, okay, something is definitely off here. Because I was thinking about it. I mean, even Data has more fluid motion,
yeah,
right? So I thought it was a wonderful addition to the move to the acting and the overall effect and feel of the movie as well, because that definitely added something to it.
Wake up!
Now that's how you looked when I saw you last.
It's good to be back, Gray.
Should have figured out, or at least have an idea of how this movie is going to end at that point, because of how similar it is to the beginning of the movie. But at the same time, you're drawn in so well that if you missed that, I could completely understand. And I think a lot of that comes down to director Lee Whannell, who at this point most people will probably know more for 2020's Invisible Man. And in terms of what Upgrade did on like the festival circuit, because I think when I first heard about it, it was after screenings at South by Southwest down in Austin, Texas. And Upgrade was basically what put Lee Whannell on the map. Like before this, he had predominantly done various things in the Saw and Insidious franchises. And just from this movie alone, I'm sorry, he's better than anything either of those franchises have ever put out.
Now, I admittedly have to say I haven't watched the Saw franchise because I tried watching the first movie and I couldn't get into the story. I couldn't get into the abject cruelty and horror of it just for the sake of cruelty and horror. So I have not watched any of the Saw movies. I have watched some of the Insidious ones though.
Yeah, no, like Saw, I've seen like bits and pieces, like just enough to go, okay, this is basically the how much blood can we throw at the camera horror that I'm not a fan of at all.
You know, it's over the top, and honestly, if I want to do that, I'll just fill the bathtub with corn syrup and red dye and, you know, go for it.
Humanity is cruel enough. I don't need to watch a movie about it.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's, I mean, we all watch different things and like different things for different reasons, but I mean, for me, I like to escape, you know. I don't like reality. Why do I want to watch it? It's one of the reasons why I hate Hallmark movies. But yeah, so I mean, this was a kind of a good escape because I mean, I could not only relate, but I mean, also there was some believability there because even just with the way the world is today, not everybody is fond of technology. I mean, working through this pandemic, I've had to take people's phone numbers so that we could call them when, you know, we're ready to help them and whatnot. And the amount of people, oh, well, I don't have my cell phone on me, or, oh, I don't have text, I don't have a cell phone, you know, or, and then, you know, even just kind of going about life, you know, oh, I don't have Facebook, I don't have Twitter, I don't have email, whatever. I mean, we have people like that as well. You know, I stick to older cars because I don't like all the computers and the new ones and whatnot. So the fact that, you know, a detective or this mechanic is technophobe, completely believable for me. Because, with everything that's going on in the world right now, you know, we've seen that. And I mean, it is changing very fast.
Yeah, and also, like, quite simply, this movie scared the fuck out of me in all the right ways.
I took a few pieces of shrapnel from my country, and they rewarded me by turning me into a lab rat.
Now I'm like you. I'm strong.
Yeah. It takes a lot of strength to murder an innocent woman in the streets, doesn't it?
You think you hate me because I shot your wife, but your story is the same as mine. I didn't ruin your life. I gave you a gift. I inducted you into my race, the Upgraded. Now you're better than everyone else. Stronger, faster. I could kill you without moving a muscle. I could kill you with a breath, but I don't want to. I want to help you. I want you to stand with us.
I just want to know why they paid you to kill her.
Man, you are persistent.
Most of this, like, for about the first, about three quarters of the movie, I was like, okay, this seems kind of awesome. And then we find out who the villain of the movie actually is.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's the fucking chap, holy shit.
And like, and then they go one step further because not only do we find out that STEM has arranged the entire thing, but When you hear when you see Logan Marshall Gray's performance change for a third time, like right before the end, he's just utterly blank, and you hear that utterly robotic, Gray's not here anymore.
Oof.
I'm like, and Stem basically says, "Yeah, I needed a human body to evolve, so I needed to find a human with no technological implants and then create a scenario where his mind would break so that I could assume full control." And yeah, Gray just broke.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, what kind of Five Nights at Freddy's sister location entered bullshit is this? Although, like, obviously much more, you know.
Yeah, I'm like, just sitting on the couch there like, I'm rethinking so many things right now.
Technology is wonderful, but at the same time, too, we're, I don't know, getting ahead of ourselves, maybe? Or, you know, the human mind just goes, hey, what if we already think, you know, oh, what if they rise up against us and kill us? No, maybe they just want to be us instead.
Tell us, how did you create a low-budget film to look like a billionaire film?
Well, thank you. That's a big compliment. I really just tried to look at it from the point of view of the audience. Like, how much does the audience need to see to feel like this is a big world? And it's kind of like a little bit of a magician's trick. Like, I just show you a little bit. So there's only really a couple of shots in the film where you see this huge city, but all you need is those two shots for the audience to believe that they're in this big world.
The ending of this story was magnificent and very unexpected. Can you tell us a little bit about how was the brainstorming process for the ending?
The first draft of the production draft of the script had a different ending. And then about 2 weeks before we started shooting, I had this other idea. And it all of a sudden I said, okay, we've got to change the ending. So everybody panicked.
Yeah.
And I said, No, you know, it's going to be worth it. And I'm glad that I pushed for it, because ultimately nobody remembers the problems at the premiere of the movie. Yeah. Nobody's on the red carpet saying, oh, you really killed us that day.
Yeah.
At the end. Everybody has movie amnesia. All they remember is the finished product.
Yeah.
So I would say to aspiring filmmakers watching that, just do the best thing for the movie, you know, no matter how hard it seems, because later you'll be thankful.
I'm just thinking this is probably as good a time as any to go into ratings, and for myself, like, Logan Marshall Green's performance alone justifies a full 5 out of 5. Like I said earlier, it's a lot of the attention to those little things that just makes this movie work so perfectly in ways that most major Hollywood films just would not bother with. And then just on top of that, how well everything around this works. Like there's even a slight Blade Runner feel to it, between things like the implants and even just the score of the film. That's like, yeah, this is about the only kind of horror movie I can get into.
I'm not one for horror myself either, but this was really good.
Oh yeah. Vita, how about you?
4.5/5, right there with you. I love the way that they definitely made it clear which was Gray and which was
sick. Yeah.
The plot twist alone surprised me. That did catch me unawares. And I'm usually pretty good about sussing out where a movie is going. So for that to throw in, you know, oh, it's actually the stem. Like, I could have understood if, oh, well, now that I'm here, I'm going to make myself at home. But no, it was the computer that brought it all out to fruition right from the get-go. Like, it wasn't a, oh, well, I'm here now, I'm going to evolve. No, it was evolving before it joined with the human. And that's what surprised me.
Yeah, the hilarious thing that actually, like, just occurred to me, like, right now, the final twist with Stem, looking at just the structure of the movie, that twist is pretty much the equivalent of Steve Jobs' Just One More Thing at the Apple developer keynote addresses. Because it's pretty much standard point to point to point, and then the movie goes, Oh, by the way! finally, Natasha, your ratings.
I'm with Vita there, 4.5 out of 5. I thought it was beautifully shot, acted, again, cinematography and the lighting, camera work, it was all wonderful. Absolutely loved the performance. There was stuff that I could, you know, connect to, and I was immediately drawn in with, you know, the initial character interactions, and then it was just, the story was very compelling. There were some things that occasionally pulled me out of it, but I mean, they were very minor things that, you know, like we discussed, so it worked for it, that I just might not have liked or agreed with, but overall, because it's not one of those big ones, kind of like Venom, and I find, so, you know, sometimes that really works.
Yeah.
For lower budget films, because you only have so much to work with, you really make it work. So, which it felt like I would have enjoyed seeing it, you know, I would have paid $30 to see it in a theater, you know, because I just thought it was absolutely stunning. So
I wish I had seen it on large screen.
Yeah.
That would have made everything even that much better. Why wasn't
I was lying on my bed watching it on my phone, but and then walking around having to get a drink.
Watch it on the TV.
But I will one day. This is unlike The Craft last time. Like, this is definitely something I'd watch again and recommend. So other than, you know, a couple of pitfalls that just weren't to my taste. Yeah, no, 4.5 out of 5. It was wonderful. Thank you for, you know, including me in this. It was really good, and I'd never heard of it before. So,
Yeah.
Heard of it. I mean, it wasn't promoted. It was in theater, I think, but it wasn't in theater for very long.
I had checked with Trevor. I don't think Upgrade got, like, major theatrical distribution. If I remember right, according to him, it was here in Halifax, but for maybe like a week, and then it was gone.
Which did the movie a major disservice.
Yeah.
They should have promoted that more. And
the thing is, though, too, I mean, budget for the movie overall also includes, you know, the promotion and I think the distribution. Don't quote me on that. I'm not a money person when it comes to film. They gave us an overview at college. But because when we were doing our develop a series this past semester for a series, a part of our budget was for the promoting of it. And I mean, take that money, I guess, that could have gone to promoting. And I mean, look at what we saw on screen. It was absolutely stunning. So
yeah,
unfortunately that, you know, this is the kind of way to promote it. But, you know, I think expressing how we relate to it and sort of our inner thoughts can probably do a lot better than what some sort of, you know, top man or whatever at the promoting company, you know, might be able to say, hey, go see this. It's, you know, it's cool looking, it's scary. While we for free, basically, you know, give more personal human reasons to go see this technological terror.
With that, on my end, of course, addytheadipose.redbubble.com. Take a look around, bookmark anything you like. I have updated the store a bit and turned on the mask option on a few designs. And hey, if you like the design and you want to buy it, awesome. I'm eternally grateful, but frankly, just between you and me, the Redbubble masks don't look that good.
I've got my Mandalorian mask is actually from Redbubble, and it's the mask feels like a t-shirt. My only complaint is that the elastics, I had to sew them a little bit to make it a bit tighter. But yeah, no, they are nice, and I get paid next week, so might be visiting the shop.
Yeah, no, like, like I said, a couple of the designs I just thought really would work on a mask, but at the same time, they don't look all that high quality. If nothing else, it doesn't look like there's a wire for around your nose.
There isn't.
Yeah. Like they're just so basic. They're there, but they're so basic that I can't. If you want to do cool, I can't honestly recommend them.
For the price that they are, including shipping and whatnot, no, I'm just a frivolous bitch. Sorry?
How much are the masks through Red Bull?
Varies. I've seen some for 13. I've seen some for 18. So,
Oh, wow.
It really kind of varies.
Yeah. Vita, how about you?
So, and it takes about a month or two to get it to you. So,
I'm still staying at home. I'm still working full time. Some customers that know how to get a hold of me through Facebook or email have been, hey, do you have this in the stock? So, I'm still here. I'm not doing a lot of promotion because between the full time job and sewing masks, there's not a whole lot of time for jewelry creation. But if there's a custom order, I can certainly pick up flyers. Or, hey, do you have this already made up in stock? Yeah, sure, I can mail that out to you, not a problem. And I haven't actually done a lot of posting on my business page about making the masks because I was afraid I was going to get overwhelmed with a crap ton of orders. As it was, I posted on my Facebook, like my personal page just the other day, like, oh, look, I've got more like, 60 fabrics available. And that ended in 30 masks to be done by the weekend. So, this is all the way of saying I am going to start promoting more on my Facebook page that I am available for custom order masks. I have some that are ready to wear that are retail, but I like getting the orders and then making them. That way I know what I have in stock. I can show you what fabric options there are because, again, more than 60 fabric choices. That's a lot of fabrics to try to put up on a website.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone's interested in getting a mask, they are the two layers of cotton. They do allow for a filter. They do have the stainless steel wire across the nose bridge with the elastic ear loops. $15 per mask. I can ship them out. And just shoot me a message on Facebook out of the broom closet. You'll see the witch come up with the Doctor Who scarf. That would be the right one because there's a lot of out of the broom closets on Facebook. But yeah, shoot me a message.
Alrighty, Natasha.
Yay. Well, we have a name for me and my friend Allie have a name for our podcast now. No Rest for the Warm and Wicked.
Nice.
I'm still in the process of editing it. I find it took me a while to clean up the fan noise in the background of some of the audio, but that was more so just because it was my first time doing it. But between work and I've been traveling out of town to help my dad with some stuff. Like today we were doing a gate and landscaping, which is why I got a sunburn. But I'm trying my best to get it up, but obviously I will be posting links once I do finish the editing and the website does go live. So it's just right now it's kind of a work in progress, much slower than I would have liked, but also I've got unfortunately bigger concerns at the moment. So yeah, but it's something to kind of keep me up with what I want to do.
Yeah,
since I'm not in school right now, so that, and if you'll let me do the audio for this one again.
Oh, totally.
If you need it.
Oh yeah.
I enjoy it anyway.
Yeah. I we should be good, but
oh yeah.
It's not gonna hurt.
No, I even just enjoy this.
Yeah.
You guys are fun.
With that, for our next episode, I've actually decided I'm not telling anybody what it is yet. The only thing I am going to say is we've covered Vita's favorite movie with Dreamscape. We did one of Mickey's favorites with The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen. And next episode, it's my turn.
Uh-oh.
And I can't wait.
I'm suddenly just unavailable whenever you... Don't know when yet, but I'm sure I'll find something to keep me busy.
A lot of bad movies out there, Mike. Which one are you subjecting us to?
Well, I mean, he already did The Craft last time, so I mean, you know.
Oh,
we're not doing Robin Hood again.
Oh no, of course not. But with that, until
text in a week.
Until next week's, or not next week's, because I don't know when the episode will actually go up. But until our next episode. See ya!